What? Light Song asked.
It's nothing,
Larimar said.
Scoot,
Light Song said, eyeing him. The priest sighed.
I can't speak, Your Grace. I cannot taint your impression of the paintings.
A lot of gods have been giving favorable reviews of war paintings lately, eh? Light Song said, looking back at the artwork. Larimar didn't answer.
It's probably nothing, Light Song said. Just our response to those arguments in the court, I'd guess.
Likely, Larimar said. Light Song fell silent. He knew it wasn't nothing to Larimar. To him, Light Song wasn't just giving his impression of art, he was foretelling the future. What did it augur that he liked a depiction of war with such vibrant, brutal colorings? Was it a reaction to his dreams? But last night he hadn't dreamed of a war. Finally. He'd dreamed of a storm, true, but that wasn't the same thing.
I shouldn't have spoken, he thought.
And yet, reacting to the art seemed like the only truly important thing he did. He stared at the sharp smears of paint, each figure just a couple of triangular strokes. It was beautiful. Could war be beautiful? How could he find beauty in those gray faces confronting flesh, the lifeless killing men? This battle hadn't even meant anything. It hadn't decided the outcome of the war, even though the leader of the Pawn Unity, the kingdoms united against Halandrin, had been killed in the battle. Diplomacy had finally ended the many war, not bloodshed.
Are we thinking of starting this up again?
Light Song thought, still transfixed by the beauty.
Is what I do going to lead to war?
No, he thought to himself. No, I'm just being careful, helping Blushweaver secure a political faction. Better that than letting things just pass me by. The many wars started because the royal family wasn't careful. The painting continued to call to him.
What's that sword?
Light Song asked.
Sword?
The black one, Light Song said, in the woman's hand.
I don't see a sword, Your Grace,
Larimar said.
To tell you the truth, I don't see a woman either. It's all just wild strokes of paint to me.
You called it the Battle of Twilight Falls.
The title of the piece, Your Grace,
Larimar said.
I assumed that you were as confused by it as I was, so I told you what the artist had named it.
The two fell silent. Finally, Light Song turned, walking away from the painting. I'm done reviewing art for the day. He hesitated. Don't burn that painting. Keep it for my collection. Larimar acknowledged the command with a nod. As Light Song made his way out of the palace, he tried to regain some of his eagerness, and he succeeded, though memory of the terrible, beautiful scene stayed with him, mixing with his memories of last night's dream, with its clashing tempest of winds. Not even that could dampen his mood. Something was different. Something excited him. There had been a murder in the court of gods. He didn't know why he should find that so intriguing. If anything, he should find it tragic or upsetting. And yet, for as long as he had lived, everything had been provided for him. Answers to his questions, entertainment to sate his whims. Almost by accident, he had become a glutton. Only two things had been withheld from him: knowledge of his past and freedom to leave the court. Neither of those restrictions was going to change soon. But here, inside the court, the place of too much safety and comfort, something had gone wrong. A little thing, a thing most returned would ignore. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted to care. Who, therefore, would object to Light Song's questions?
You're acting very oddly, Your Grace, Larimar said, catching up to him as they crossed the grass, servants following behind in a chaotic cluster as they worked to get a large red parasol open.
I know, Lightsong said. However, I believe we can agree that I have always been rather odd for a god.
I must admit that is true.
Then I'm actually being very like myself, Lightsong said,
and all is right in the universe. Are we really going back to Mercy Star's palace?
Indeed we are. Do you suppose she'll be annoyed at us? That might prove interesting. Larimar just sighed.
Are you ready to talk about your dreams yet?
Lightsong didn't immediately reply. The servants finally got the parasol up and held it over him. I dreamed of a storm, Lightsong finally said. I was standing in it, without anything to brace myself. It was raining and blowing against me, forcing me backward. In fact, it was so strong that even the ground beneath me seemed to undulate. Larimar looked disturbed. More signs of war, Lightsong thought. Or, at least, that's how he'll see it.
Anything else?
Yes, Lightsong said. A red panther. It seemed to shine, reflective, like it was made of glass or something like that. It was waiting in the storm. Larimar eyed him.
Are you making things up, Your Grace?
What? No! That's really what I dreamed. Larimar sighed, but nodded to a lesser priest, who rushed up to take his dictation. It wasn't long before they reached Mercy Star's palace of yellow and gold. Lightsong paused before the building, realizing that he'd never before visited another god's palace without first sending a messenger.
Do you want me to send in someone to announce you, Your Grace?
Larimar asked. Lightsong hesitated. No, he finally said, noticing a pair of guards standing at the main doorway. The two men looked far more muscular than the average servant, and they wore swords. Dueling blades, Lightsong assumed, though he'd never actually seen one. He walked up to the men.
Is your mistress here? I'm afraid not, Your Grace,
one of them said.
She went to visit All-Mother for the afternoon.
All-Mother, Lightsong thought. Another with lifeless commands. Blushweaver's doing? Perhaps he would drop by later. He missed chatting with All-Mother. She, unfortunately, hated him violently.
Ah, Lightsong said to the guard.
Well, regardless, I need to inspect the corridor just inside here, where the attack happened the other night. The guards glanced at each other.
I don't know if we can let you do that, Your Grace.
Scoot, Lightsong said. Can they forbid me?
Only if they have a direct command to do so from Mercy Star.
Lightsong looked back at the men. Reluctantly, they stepped aside. It's perfectly all right, he told them. She asked me to take care of things. Kind of. Coming, Scoot? Larimar followed him into the corridors. Once again, Lightsong felt an odd satisfaction. Instincts he hadn't known he had drove him to seek out the place where the servant had died. The wood had been replaced. His heightened eyes could easily tell the difference between the new wood and the old. He walked a little farther. The patch where the wood had turned gray was gone as well, seamlessly replaced with new material. Interesting, he thought, but not unexpected. I wonder, are there any other patches? He walked a little further and was rewarded by another patch of new wood. It formed an exact square.
Your Grace, a new voice asked.
Lightsong looked up to see the curt young priest he had spoken with the day before. Lightsong smiled. Ah, good. I was hoping that you would come.
"This is most irregular, Your Grace," the man said. "I hear that eating a lot of figs can cure you of that," Lightsong said. "Now, I need to speak with the guards who saw the intruder the other night." "But why, Your Grace?" the priest said. "Because I'm eccentric," Lightsong said. "Send for them. I need to speak to all of the servants or guards who saw the man who committed the murder."
"Your Grace," the priest said uncomfortably. "The city authorities have already dealt with this. They have determined that the intruder was a thief after Mercy Star's art, and they have committed to..."
"Scoot," Lightsong said, turning. "Can this man ignore my demand?"
"Only at great peril to his soul, Your Grace," Larimar said.
The priest eyed them both angrily, then turned and sent a servant to do as Lightsong asked. Lightsong knelt down, causing several servants to whisper in alarm. They obviously thought it improper for a god to stoop. Lightsong ignored them, looking at the square of new wood. It was larger than the other two that had been ripped up, and the colors matched far better. It was just a square patch of wood that was just a slightly different color than its neighbors. Without breath, and a lot of it, he wouldn't have noticed the distinction. "A trap door," he thought with sudden shock. The priest was watching him closely. "This patch isn't as new as the other ones back there. It's only new in relation to the other boards." Lightsong crawled along the floor, deliberately ignoring the door in the floor. Once again, unexpected instincts warned him not to reveal what he'd discovered. Why was he so wary all of a sudden? Was it the influence of his violent dreams and imagery from the painting earlier? Or was it something more? He felt as if he were dredging deep within himself, pulling forth an awareness he had never before needed. Either way, he moved on from the patch, pretending that he hadn't noticed the trap door, and was instead searching for threads that might have been caught on the wood. He picked up one that had obviously come from a servant's robe and held it up. The priest seemed to relax slightly. "So he knows about the trap door," Lightsong thought. "And perhaps the intruder did as well." Lightsong crawled some more, discomforting the servants until the men he had requested were assembled. He stood, letting a couple of his servants dust off his robes, then walked over to the newcomers. The hallway was growing quite crowded, so he shooed them back out into the sunlight. Outside, he regarded the group of six men. "Identify yourselves. You on the left, who are you?"
"My name is Gagarl," the man said.
"I'm sorry," Lightsong said. The man flushed.
"I was named after my father, Your Grace."
"After he what? Spent an unusual amount of time at the local tavern? Anyway, how are you involved in this mess?"
"I was one of the guards at the door when the intruder broke in."
"Were you alone?" Lightsong asked.
"No," said another of the men. "I was with him."
"Good," Lightsong said. "You two, go over there somewhere." He waved his hand at the lawn. The men looked at each other, then walked away as indicated.
"Far enough that you can't hear us," Lightsong called at them.
The men nodded and continued.
"All right," Lightsong said, looking back at the others. "Who are you for?"
"We were attacked by the man in the hallway," one of the servants said. He pointed at two of the others. "All three of us. And one other. The man who was killed."
"Terribly unfortunate, that," Lightsong said, pointing at another section of the lawn. "Off you go. Walk until you can't hear me anymore. Then wait."
The three men trudged off.
"And now you," Lightsong said, hands on hips, regarding the last man, a shorter priest.
"I saw the intruder flee, Your Grace," the priest said. "I was watching out a window."
Very timely of you,
Light Song said, pointing at a third spot on the lawn, far enough from the others to be sequestered. The man walked away. Light Song turned back to the priest who was obviously in charge. You said that the intruder released a lifeless animal? Light Song asked.
A squirrel, Your Grace, the priest said. We captured it.
Go and fetch it for me.
Your Grace, it's quite wild and...
He stopped, recognizing the look in Light Song's eyes, then waved for a servant.
No, Light Song said, not a servant. You go and get it personally.
The priest looked incredulous.
Yes, yes, Light Song said, waving him away. I know. It's an offense to your dignity. Perhaps you should think about converting to Austerism. For now, get going.
The priest left, grumbling.
The rest of you, Light Song said, addressing his own servants and priests. You wait here.
They looked resigned. Perhaps they were growing accustomed to him dismissing them.
Come on, Scoot,
Light Song said, walking toward the first group he had sent off onto the lawn, the two guards. Larimar scurried forward to keep up as Light Song took long strides over to the two men.
Now, Light Song said to the two, out of earshot of the others, tell me what you saw.
He came to us pretending to be a madman, Your Grace, one of the guards said. He sauntered out of the shadows, mumbling to himself. It was just an act, though, and when he got close enough, he knocked us both out.
How?
Light Song asked.
He grabbed me around the neck with tassels from his awakened coat, the guard said.
He nodded to his companion.
Knocked him in the stomach with the hilt of a sword.
The second guard raised his shirt to show a large bruise on his stomach, then cocked his head to the side, showing another one on his neck.
Choked us both, the first guard said. Me with those tassels, Fran with a boot on his neck. That's the last thing we knew. By the time we awoke, he was gone.
He choked you, Light Song said, but didn't kill you. Just enough to knock you out.
That's right, Your Grace, the guard said.
Please describe this man, Light Song said.
He was big, the guard said. Had a scraggly beard, not too long, but not trimmed either.
He wasn't smelly or dirty, the other said. He just didn't seem to take much care for how he looked. His hair was long, came down to his neck, and he hadn't seen a brush in a long while.
Wore ragged clothing, the first said, patched in places, nothing bright, but not really dark either, just kind of bland, rather un-Hallandrin, now that I think on it.
And he was armed, Light Song said.
With the sword that hit me, the second guard said. Big thing, not a dueling blade, more like an Easterner sword. Straight and really long. Had it hidden under his cloak, and we would have seen it if he hadn't covered it up by walking so oddly.
Light Song nodded.
Thank you. Stay here.
With that, he turned and walked toward the second group.
This is very interesting, Your Grace, Larimar said, but I really don't see the point.
I'm just curious, Light Song said.
Excuse me, Your Grace, Larimar said, but you're not really the curious type.
Light Song continued walking. The things he was doing, he did mostly without thinking. They just felt natural. He approached the next group.
You were the ones who saw the intruder in the hallway, right?
Light Song said to them. The men nodded. One shot a glance back at Mercy Star's palace. The lawn in front of it was now crowded with a colorful assortment of priests and servants, both Mercy Star's and Light Song's own.
Tell me what happened, Light Song said.
We were walking through the servants' hallway, one said. We'd been released for the evening, and were going to go out into the city to a nearby tavern.
Then we saw someone in the hallway,
Another said, he didn't belong there.
Describe him,
Lightsong said.
Big man, one said. The others nodded. Had ragged clothing and a beard, kind of dirty looking.
No, another said. The clothing was old, but the man wasn't dirty, just slovenly.
Lightsong nodded. Continue.
Well, there isn't much to say, one of the men said. He attacked us. Threw an awakened rope at poor Taff, who got tied up immediately. Rariv and I ran for help. Lolan stayed behind.
Lightsong looked at the third man.
You stayed back? Why?
To help Taff, of course, the man said.
Lying, Lightsong thought. Looks too nervous.
Really?
He said, stepping closer. The man looked down.
Well, mostly. I mean, there was the sword, too.
Oh, right, another said. He threw a sword at us. Strangest thing.
He didn't draw it? Lightsong asked.
He threw it?
The men shook their heads.
He threw it at us, sheath and all. Lolan picked it up.
I thought I'd fight him, Lolan said.
Interesting, Lightsong said.
So you two left?
Yeah, one of the men said. When we came back with the others, after getting around that blasted squirrel, we found Lolan on the ground, unconscious, and poor Taff, well, he was still tied up, though the rope wasn't awakened anymore. He'd been stabbed straight through.
You saw him die?
No, Lolan said, bringing his hands up in denial. He had, Lightsong noticed, a bandage on one hand.
The intruder knocked me out with a fist to the head.
But you had the sword, Lightsong said.
It was too big to use,
the man said, looking down.
So he threw the sword at you, then ran up and punched you,
Lightsong said.
The man nodded.
And your hand?
Lightsong asked.
The man paused, unconsciously retracting his hand.
It got twisted. Nothing important.
And you need a bandage for a twisted wrist?
Lightsong said, raising an eyebrow.
Show me.
The man hesitated.
Show me, or lose your soul, my son.
Lightsong said in what he hoped was a suitably divine voice. The man slowly extended his hand. Larimar stepped forward and removed the bandage. The hand was completely gray, drained of color.
Impossible, Lightsong thought with a shock. Awakening doesn't do that to living flesh. It can't draw color from someone alive. Only objects. Floorboards, clothing, furniture.
The man withdrew his hand.
What is that?
Lightsong asked.
I don't know, the man said. I woke up and it was like that.
Is that so?
Lightsong said flatly.
And I'm to believe that you had nothing else to do with this? That you weren't working with the intruder?
The man fell to his knees suddenly, beginning to cry.
Please, my lord, don't take my soul. I'm not the best of men. I go to the brothels. I cheat when we gamble.
The other two looked startled at this.
But I didn't know anything about this intruder,
Lolan continued.
Please, you have to believe me. I just wanted that sword, that beautiful black sword. I wanted to draw it, swing it, attack the man with it. I reached for it, and while I was distracted, he attacked me. But I didn't see him kill Taff. I promise, I hadn't ever seen this intruder before. You have to believe me.
Lightsong paused. I do, he finally said. Let this be a warning. Be good. Stop cheating.
Yes, my lord.
Lightsong nodded to the men, then he and Larimar left them behind.
I actually kind of feel like a god, Lightsong said. Did you see me make that man repent?
Amazing, your grace,
Larimar said.
So what do you think about their testimonies? Lightsong said, something strange is going on, isn't it?
I'm still wondering why you think you should be the one to investigate it, Your Grace.
It's not like I have anything else to do.
Besides be a god.
Overrated, Lightsong said, walking up to the final man. It has nice perks, but the hours are awful.
Larimar snorted quietly as Lightsong turned to address the final witness. The short priest, who stood in his robes of yellow and gold. He was distinctly younger than the other priest. Was he chosen to tell me lies with the hopes that he'd seem innocent?
Lightsong wondered idly. Or am I just making assumptions? What is your story? Lightsong asked.
The young priest bowed. I was going about my duties, carrying to the record sanctuary several prophecies we had inscribed from the lady's mouth. I heard a distant disturbance in the building. I looked out the window toward the sound, but I saw nothing.
Where were you? Lightsong asked.
The young man pointed toward a window.
There, Your Grace.
Lightsong frowned. The priest had been on the opposite side of the palace from where the killing had occurred. However, that was the side of the building where the intruder had first entered.
You could see the doorway where the intruder disabled the two guards?
Yes, Your Grace, the man said, though I didn't see them at first. I almost left the window to search for the source of the noise. However, at that point I did see something odd in the lantern light of the entryway. A figure moving. It was then that I noticed the guards on the ground. I thought they were dead bodies, and I was frightened by the shadowy figure moving between them. I yelled and ran for help. By the time anyone paid attention to me, the figure was gone.
You went down to look for him?
Lightsong asked.
The man nodded. And how long did it take you?
Several minutes, Your Grace.
Lightsong nodded slowly.
Very well, then. Thank you.
The young priest began to walk over to the main group of his colleagues.
Oh, wait, Lightsong said. Did you by any chance get a clear look at the intruder?
Not really, Your Grace, the priest said. He was in dark clothing, kind of nondescript. It was too far away to see well.
Lightsong waved the man away. He rubbed his chin thoughtfully for a moment, then eyed Larimar.
Well?
The priest raised an eyebrow.
Well, what, Your Grace? What do you think?
Larimar shook his head.
I honestly don't know, Your Grace. This is obviously important, however.
Lightsong paused.
It is?
Larimar nodded.
Yes, Your Grace, because of what that man said, the one who was wounded in the hand. He mentioned a black sword. You predicted it, remember? In the painting this morning.
That wasn't a prediction, Lightsong said. That was really there, in the painting.
That's the way prophecy works, Your Grace,
Larimar said.
Don't you see? You look at a painting and an entire image appears to your eyes. All I see is random strokes of red. The scene you describe, the things you see, are prophetic. You are a god.
But I saw exactly what the painting was said to depict, Lightsong said, before you even told me what the title was.
Larimar nodded knowingly, as if that proved his point. Oh, never mind. Priests, insufferable fanatics, every one of you. Either way, you agree with me that there is something strange here.
Definitely, Your Grace.
Good, Lightsong said. Then you'll kindly stop complaining when I investigate it.
Actually, Your Grace, Larimar said, it's even more imperative that you not get involved. You predicted this would occur, but you are an oracle. You must not interact with the subject of your predictions. If you get involved, you could unbalance a great many things.
I like being unbalanced, Lightsong said. Besides, this is far too much fun.
As usual, Larimar didn't react to having his advice ignored. As they began to walk back toward the main group, however, the priest did ask a question.
Your Grace, just to sate my own curiosity, what do you think about the murder?
It's obvious, Lightsong said idly. There were two intruders. The first is the large man with the sword. He knocked out the guards, attacked those servants, released the lifeless, then disappeared. The second man, the one the young priest saw, came in after the first intruder. That second man is the murderer.
Larimar frowned.
Why do you suppose that?
The first man took care not to kill, Lightsong said. He left the guards alive at risk to himself, since they could have regained consciousness at any moment to raise the alarm. He didn't draw his sword against the servants, but simply tried to subdue them. There was no reason for him to kill a bound captive, particularly since he'd already left witnesses. If there were a second man, however, well, that would make sense. The servant who was killed, he was the one who was conscious when this second intruder came through. That servant was the only one who saw the second intruder.
So, you think someone else followed the man with the sword, killed the only witness, and then...
Both of them vanished, Lightsong said. I found a trap door. I'm thinking there must be passages beneath the palace. It all seems fairly obvious to me. One thing, however, is not obvious. He glanced at Larimar, slowing before they reached the main group of priests and servants.
And what is that, Your Grace?
Larimar asked.
How in the name of colors I've figured all of this out?
I'm trying to grasp that myself, Your Grace.
Lightsong shook his head.
This comes from before, Scoot. Everything I'm doing, it feels natural. Who was I before I died?
I don't know what you mean, Your Grace,
Larimar said, turning away. Oh, come now, Scoot. I've spent most of my returned life just lounging about. But then the moment someone is killed, I leap out of bed and can't resist poking around. Doesn't that sound suspicious to you?
Larimar didn't look at him.
Colors, Lightsong swore. I was someone useful? I was just beginning to convince myself that I died in a reasonable way, such as falling off a stump when I was drunk.
You know you died in a brave way, Your Grace.
It could have been a really high stump.
Larimar just shook his head.
Either way, Your Grace, you know I can't say anything about who you were before.
Well, these instincts came from somewhere, Lightsong said as they walked over to the main group of watching priests and servants. The head priest had returned with a small wooden box. Wild scratching came from inside.
Thank you, Lightsong snapped, grabbing the box and passing by without even breaking stride. I'm telling you, Scoot, I am not pleased.
You seemed rather happy this morning, Your Grace.
Larimar noted as they walked away from Mercy Star's palace. Her priest was left behind, a complaint dying on his lips. Lightsong's entourage trailing after their god.
I was happy, Lightsong said, because I didn't know what was going on. How am I going to be properly indolent if I keep itching to investigate things? Honestly, this murder will completely destroy my hard-won reputation.
My sympathies, Your Grace, that you have been inconvenienced by a semblance of motivation.
Quite right, Lightsong said, sighing.
He handed over the box with its furious, lifeless rodent. Here, you think my awakeners can break its security phrase?
Eventually, Larimar said. Though it's an animal, Your Grace, it won't be able to tell us anything directly.
Have them do it anyway, Lightsong said. Meanwhile,
I need to think about this case some more.
They walked back to his palace. However, the thing that now struck Lightsong was the fact that he'd used the word case in reference to the murder. It was a word he'd never heard used in that particular context, yet he knew that it fit. Instinctively. Automatically. I didn't have to learn to speak again when I returned, he thought. I didn't have to learn to walk again or read again or anything like that. Only my personal memory was lost. But not all of it, apparently. And that left him wondering what else he could do if he tried. Chapter 27. Something happened to those previous God Kings, Ciri thought, striding through the endless rooms of the God King's palace, her servants scurrying behind. Something that Bluefingers fears will happen to Sisebron. It will be dangerous to both the God King and myself. She continued to walk, trailing a train made from countless tassels of translucent green silk behind her. The day's gown was nearly gossamer thin. She'd chosen it, then had asked her servants to fetch an opaque slip for her. It was funny how quickly she'd stopped worrying about what was ostentatious and what was not. There were many much more important problems to worry about. The priests do fear that something will happen to Sisebron, she thought firmly. They're so eager for me to produce an heir. They claim it's about the succession, but they went 50 years without bothering. They were willing to wait 20 years to get their bride from Idris. Whatever the danger is, it's not urgent. And yet, the priests act like it is. Perhaps they'd wanted a bride of the royal line so badly that they'd been willing to risk the danger. Surely they needn't have waited 20 years, though. Vivenna could have borne children years ago. Though perhaps the treaty specified a time and not an age. Maybe it just said that the King of Idris had 20 years to provide a bride for the God King. That would explain why her father had been able to send Ciri instead. Ciri cursed herself for ignoring her lessons about the treaty. She didn't really know what it said. For all she knew, the danger could be spelled out in the document itself. She needed more information. Unfortunately, the priests were obstructive, the servants silent, and Bluefingers, well. She finally caught sight of him moving through one of the rooms, writing on his ledger. Ciri hurried up, train rustling. He turned, glimpsing her. His eyes opened wide, and he increased his speed, ducking through the open doorway into another room. Ciri called after him, moving as quickly as the dress would allow, but when she arrived, the room was empty. Colors, she swore, feeling her hair grow a deep red in annoyance. You still think he isn't avoiding me? She demanded, turning to the most senior of her servants. The woman lowered her gaze. It would be improper for a servant of the palace to avoid his queen, Vessel. He mustn't have seen you.
Right, Ciri thought, just like every other time.
When she sent for him, he always arrived after she'd given up and left. When she had a letter scribed to him, he responded so vaguely that it only frustrated her even further. She couldn't take books from the palace library, and the priests were disruptively distracting if she tried to read inside the library chamber itself. She'd requested books from the city, but the priests had insisted that they be brought by a priest, then read to her, so as to not strain her eyes. She was pretty sure that if there was anything in the book that the priests didn't want her to know, the reader would simply skip it. She depended so much upon the priests and scribes for everything, including information. Except, she thought, still standing in the bright red room, there was another source of information. She turned to her head servant. What activities are going on today in the courtyard?
Many, Vessel, the woman said.
Some artists have come and are doing paintings and sketches. There are some animal handlers showing exotic creatures from the south. I believe they have both elephants and zebras on display. There are also several dye merchants showing off their newest color combinations. And, of course, there are minstrels. What about at that building we went to before?
The arena, Vessel?
I believe there will be games there later in the evening, contests of physical prowess. Ciri nodded. Prepare a box. I want to attend. Back in her homeland, Ciri had occasionally watched running contests. They were usually spontaneous, as the monks didn't approve of men showing off. Astra gave all men talents. Flaunting them was seen as arrogance. Boys can't be so easily contained. She had seen them run, had even encouraged them. Those contests, however, had been nothing like what the Halandrin men now put on. There were a half dozen different events going on at once. Some men threw large stones, competing for distance. Others raced in a wide circle around the interior of the arena floor, kicking up sand, sweating heavily in the muggy Halandrin heat. Others tossed javelins, shot arrows, or engaged in leaping contests. Ciri watched with a deepening blush, one that ran all the way down to the ends of her hair. The men wore only loincloths. During her weeks in the Grand City, she had never seen anything quite so interesting.
A lady shouldn't stare at young men, her mother had taught. It's unseemly.
Yet what was the point, if not to stare? Ciri couldn't help herself, and it wasn't just because of the naked skin. These were men who had trained extensively, who had mastered their physical abilities to wondrous effect. As Ciri watched, she saw that relatively little regard was given to the winners of each particular event. The contests weren't really about victory, but about the skill required to compete. In that respect, these contests were almost in line with Idrian sensibilities, yet at the same time, they were ironically opposite. The beauty of the games kept her distracted for much longer than she'd intended, her hair permanently locked into a deep maroon blush, even after she got used to the idea of men competing in so little clothing. Eventually, she forced herself to stand and turn away from the performance. She had work to do. Her servants perked up. They had brought all kinds of luxuries, full couches and cushions, fruits and wines, even a few men with fans to keep her cool. After only a few weeks in the palace, such comfort was beginning to seem commonplace to her.
There was a god who came and spoke to me before, Ciri said, scanning the amphitheater, where many of the stone boxes were decorated with colorful canopies. Which one was it?
Lightsong the Bold, Vessel, one of the serving women said. God of bravery.
Ciri nodded. And his colors are?
Gold and red, Vessel.
Ciri smiled. His canopy showed that he was there. He wasn't the only god to have introduced himself to her during her weeks in the palace, but he was the only one who had spent any amount of time chatting with her. He'd been confusing, but at least he'd been willing to talk. She left her box, beautiful dress trailing on the stone. She'd had to force herself to stop feeling guilty for ruining them, since apparently each dress was burned the day after she wore it. Her servants burst into frantic motion, gathering up furniture and foods, following behind Ciri. As before, there were people on the benches below, merchants rich enough to buy entrance to the court, or peasants who had won a special lottery. Many turned and looked up as she passed, whispering among themselves.
It's the only way they get to see me, she realized. Their queen.
That was one thing that Idris certainly handled better than Halandrin. The Idrians had easy access to their king and their government, while in Halandrin, the leaders were kept aloof, and therefore made remote, even mysterious. She approached the red and gold pavilion. The god she had seen before lounged inside, relaxing on a couch, sipping from a large, beautifully engraved glass cup filled with an icy red liquid. He looked much as he had before, the chiseled masculine features that she was already coming to associate with godhood, perfectly styled black hair, golden tan skin, and a distinctly blasé attitude.
That's something else Idris was right about, she thought. My people may be too stern, but it also isn't good to become as self-indulgent as some of these returned.
The god, Lightsong, eyed her and nodded in deference, My queen.
Lightsong the Bold, she said, as one of her servants brought her chair. I trust your day has been pleasant.
So far this day I have discovered several disturbing and redefining elements of my soul, which are slowly restructuring the very nature of my existence. He took a sip from his drink. Other than that, it was uneventful. You?
Fewer revelations, Ciri said, sitting. More confusion. I'm still inexperienced in the way things work here. I was hoping you could answer some of my questions. Give me some information, perhaps.
Afraid not, Lightsong said. Ciri paused, then flushed, embarrassed.
I'm sorry. Did I do something wrong?
No, nothing wrong, child, Lightsong said, his smile deepening. The reason I cannot help you is because I, unfortunately, know nothing. I'm useless. Haven't you heard?
I'm afraid I haven't.
You should pay better attention, he said, raising his cup toward her. Shame on you, he said, smilingly.
Ciri frowned, growing more embarrassed.
Lightsong's high priest, distinguished by his oversized headgear, looked on disapprovingly, and that only caused her to be more self-conscious.
Why should I be the ashamed one? She thought, growing annoyed. Lightsong is the one who is making veiled insults against me and making overt ones against himself. It's like he enjoys self-deprecation.
Actually, Ciri said, looking over at him, lifting her chin. I have heard of your reputation, Lightsong the Bold. Useless wasn't the word I heard used, however.
Oh? He said.
No. I was told you were harmless, though I can see that isn't true, for in speaking to you, my sense of reason has certainly been harmed, not to mention my head, which is beginning to ache.
Both common symptoms of dealing with me, I'm afraid, he said with an exaggerated sigh.
That could be solved, Ciri said. Perhaps it would help if you refrain from speaking when others are present. I think I should find you quite amiable in those circumstances.
Lightsong laughed. Not a belly laugh, like her father or some of the men back in Idris, but a more refined laugh. Still, it seemed genuine.
I knew I liked you, girl, he said.
I'm not sure if I should feel complimented or not.
Depends on how seriously you take yourself, Lightsong said. Come, abandon that silly chair and recline on one of these couches. Enjoy the evening.
I'm not sure that would be proper, Ciri said.
I'm a god, Lightsong said with a wave of his hand. I define propriety.
I think I'll sit, anyway,
Ciri said, smiling, though she did stand and have her servants bring the chair farther under the canopy so that she didn't have to speak so loudly. She also tried not to pay too much attention to the contests, lest she be drawn in by them again. Lightsong smiled. He seemed to enjoy making others uncomfortable. But then he also seemed to have no concern for how he himself appeared.
I meant what I said before, Lightsong, she said. I need information.
And I, my dear, was quite honest as well. I am useless, mostly. However,
I'll try my best to answer your questions, assuming, of course, you will provide answers to mine.
And if I don't know the answers to your questions?
Then make something up, he said. I'll never know the difference. Unknowing ignorance is preferable to informed stupidity.
I'll try to remember that.
Do so, and you defeat the point. Now, your questions?
What happened to the previous god kings?
Died, Lightsong said. Oh, don't look so surprised. It happens to people sometimes, even gods. We make, if you haven't noticed, laughable immortals. We keep forgetting about that live forever part, and instead find ourselves unexpectedly dead. And for the second time, at that. You might say that we're twice as bad at staying alive as regular folk.
How do the god kings die?
Gave away their breath, Lightsong said. Isn't that right, Scoot? Lightsong's high priest nodded.
It is, Your Grace. His divine majesty, Sesebron IV, died to cure the plague of Distrentia that struck Teteller 50 years ago.
Wait, Lightsong said. Isn't Distrentia a disease of the bowels?
Indeed, the High Priest said.
Lightsong frowned. You mean to tell me that our God King, the most holy and divine personage in our pantheon, died to cure a few tummy aches?
I wouldn't exactly put it that way, Your Grace.
Lightsong leaned over to Ciri.
I'm expected to do that someday, you know. Kill myself so that some old lady will be able to stop messing herself in public.
No wonder I'm such an embarrassing god. Must have to do with subconscious self-worth issues. The High Priest looked apologetically at Ciri. For the first time, she realized that the overweight priest's disapproval wasn't directed at her, but at his god. To her, he smiled.
Maybe they're not all like Trelides, she thought, smiling back.
The God King's sacrifice was not an empty gesture, Vessel, the priest said. True, diarrhea may not be a great danger to most, but to the elderly and the young it can be quite deadly. Plus, the epidemic conditions were spreading other diseases, and the city's commerce, and therefore the kingdom's, had slowed to a crawl. People in outlying villages went months without necessary supplies.
I wonder how those who were cured felt, Lightsong said musingly, waking to find their God King dead.
One would think they'd be honored, Your Grace.
I think they'd be annoyed. The king came all that way, and they were too sick to notice. Anyway, my queen, there you go. That was actually helpful information. You now have me worried that I've broken my promise to you about being useless.
If it's any consolation, she said, you weren't all that helpful yourself. It's your priest who actually seems useful.
Yes, I know. I've tried for years to corrupt him. Never seems to work. I can't even get him to acknowledge the theological paradox it causes when I try to tempt him to do evil.
Ciri paused, then found herself smiling even more broadly.
What? Lightsong asked, then finished off the last of his drink. It was immediately replaced by another. This one, blue.
Talking to you is like swimming in a river, she said. I keep getting pulled along with the current, and I'm never sure when I'll be able to take another breath.
Watch out for the rocks, Vessel. The High Priest noted, they look rather insignificant, but have sharp edges under the surface.
Bah, Lightsong said. It's the crocodiles you have to watch for. They can bite. And
what exactly were we talking about, anyway?
The God Kings, Ciri said. When the last one died, an heir had already been produced?
Indeed. The High Priest said. In fact, he had just been married the year before. The child was born only weeks before he died.
Ciri sat back in her chair,
thoughtful. And the God King before him?
Died to heal the children of a village which had been attacked by bandits, Lightsong said. The commoners love the story. The king was so moved by their suffering that he gave himself up for the simple people.
And had he been married the year before?
No, Vessel, the high priest said. It was several years after his marriage, though he did die only a month after his second child was born.
Ciri looked up. Was the first child a daughter?
Yes, the priest said. A woman of no divine powers. How do you know?
Colors, Ciri thought. Both times, right after the heir was born. Did having a child somehow make the God Kings wish to give their lives away? Or was it something more sinister? A cured plague or healed village were both things that, with a little creative propaganda, could be invented to cover up some other cause of death.
I'm not truly an expert on these things, I'm afraid, Vessel, the High Priest continued, and I'm afraid that Lord Lightsong is not either. If you press him, he could very well just start making things up.
Scoot, Lightsong said indignantly. That's slanderous.
Oh, and by the way, your hat is on fire.
Thank you, Ciri said, both of you. This has actually been rather helpful.
If I might suggest,
the High Priest said.
Please, she replied. Try a professional storyteller, Vessel, the priest said. You can order one in from the city, and he can recite both histories and tales of imagination to you. They will provide much better information than we can.
Ciri nodded. Why can't the priests in our palace be this helpful? Of course, if they really were covering up the true reason their God Kings died, they had good reason to avoid helping her. In fact, it was likely that if she asked for a storyteller, they would just provide one who would tell her what they wanted her to hear. She frowned.
Could you do that for me, Lightsong?
What?
Order a storyteller, she said. I should like you to be there, in case I have any questions.
Lightsong shrugged.
I guess I could. Haven't heard a storyteller in some time. Just let me know when.
It wasn't a perfect plan. Her servants were listening, and they might report to the priests. However, if the storyteller came to Lightsong's palace, there was at least some chance of Ciri hearing the truth.
Thank you, she said, rising.
Not so fast, Lightsong said, raising a finger. She stopped. He drank from his cup.
Well? She finally asked.
He held up the finger again as he continued to drink, tipping his head back, getting the last bits of slushy ice from the bottom of the cup. He set it aside, mouth blue.
How refreshing. Idris. Wonderful place. Lots of ice. Costs quite a bit to bring it here, so I've heard. Good thing I don't ever have to pay for anything, eh?
Ciri raised an eyebrow. And I'm standing here waiting because...
You promised to answer some of my questions.
Oh, she said, sitting back down. Of course.
Now then, he said. Did you know any city guards back in your home?
She cocked her head. City guards?
You know, fellows who enforce the law. Police, sheriffs. The men who catch crooks and guard dungeons. That sort.
I knew a couple, I guess, she said. My home city wasn't large, but it was the capital. It did attract people who could be difficult sometimes.
Ah, good, Lightsong said. Kindly describe them for me. Not the difficult fellows, the city watch.
Ciri shrugged. I don't know. They tended to be careful. They'd interview newcomers to the village,
walk the streets looking for wrong.